Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. Paul opens his book of Philippians writing this way. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus that are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The local church at Philippi had bishops, deacons, and saints. We welcome you to the program, and I want to talk this morning about the organization of the New Testament church. We're going through a series of studies on the New Testament church, and I'm glad that you have joined us. If you have missed some of those, I would encourage you to go back and listen to them if you'd like to learn more about what the Bible teaches about the New Testament church and how you can be a member of that New Testament church without being a member of any denomination. And if you will go to our website, wbcoc.org, wbcoc.org, you can click on the link at the top or the menu that says the Let the Bible Speak program, and you can get all past recordings of our programs, and you can listen to those previous lessons on the New Testament church. WBCOC, that stands for the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard. We're trying to be a group of New Testament Christians providing first century Christianity in the 21st century. And we would love for you to come visit us and join us in that endeavor. The organization of the local church in the New Testament. Let's look at that this morning. We're familiar in our world and in our society, in our culture, how that different groups have organizational structure, body, that allows it to be governed and to govern. And we're familiar with that. For example, on a national level, we have three branches of government. We have the executive branch, led by the President of the United States and the Vice President. And we have the legislative branch, led by a House of Representatives and a Speaker of the House and a Senate. And we have a judicial branch, led by the Supreme Court and all the various sub-courts under that, all the way down to the local level. So we have these three branches of government. That's the structure and the organization of our federal government. You come down to a state level, we have the same thing. We have a governor of a state, and we have a House of Representatives, and we have similar kind of structure on a state level, and a Senate and a House of Representatives on a state level. You come on down to the local level of the city in Clarksville, for example, you have a city mayor and a city council. You have a county mayor and a county commission. If you move over to the schools, they have organization. There's a local school board with a school board superintendent and a school board of members that make policy for the schools. You could look at a particular business or corporation. There may be a president or a CEO. There may be a vice president. There may be a board. There may be a chairman of a board. And so we're familiar with organizational structure. The same is true for the local church in the New Testament. We're going to see this morning what that is. And Paul gives us some insight into that in Philippians chapter 1, 1 and 2, that a local church has bishops, deacons, and saints. Let's see how that unfolds, and I will probably break this material up into two parts where we will look at the biblical material today on the program, and Lord willing, next week, we will look and see how man, after the first century, how man began to pervert that organizational structure and how we need to avoid any sort of man-made denominational structure and organization and be simply a New Testament church. Why study the local church organization? Well, we want to have an orderly arrangement that God wants for the local church, and we want to follow the New Testament pattern for that organization. And we want to avoid the many religious apostasies that have begun with unscriptural church organization. So organization is needed. We see that on a federal level, on a state level, on a local city level or county level. No group, really, small or large, secular or religious, can exist for the good of others without some sort of organization. A group of people without proper organization could very well be ineffective or will soon self-destruct. And so we want to learn what this organizational structure is for the New Testament church. Well, the word church in the New Testament, and I've mentioned this before on the program, ecclesia, meaning to call out, is used in a universal sense of all Christians everywhere, and it's used in a local sense for local churches. Ecclesia simply means an assembly of saved people who have been called out of darkness to be saints. They've been called by God. They've been called through the gospel. They're called to come into the body of Christ. Ecclesia is a collective noun used of an assembly of people. It's used of people. It's not a building. And it's used for the people of God in the New Testament as an assembly of Christians. Technically, the word is not necessarily related or tied specifically to or exclusively to religion. In Acts chapter 19, there was an ecclesia, an assembly of townspeople who had come together in the theater there at Ephesus, Acts 19:32, and then again in verse 39. So ecclesia can just simply mean an assembly of people. But for the most part, in the majority of times in the New Testament, of course, it's used for an assembly of Christians. So it's used in a universal sense of all the saved, everywhere, of all time. The universal church, we say. Some examples of that would be Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. That's all Christians everywhere. Ephesians 1:22 and 23, the church is the body of Christ. 1 Timothy 3:15, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And this is very important. With regard to the church in the universal sense, there is no organization on earth in the universal sense. There's no organization that binds together all Christians everywhere. Christ is over all Christians, and His New Testament law is over all Christians. But we're talking about men that have been appointed by God in an organizational sense. There is none for the church universal. Therefore, there is no church universal organization. There's no single agency or headquarters on the earth to govern all Christians everywhere. Now, I'm aware that some denominations, like the Catholic Church, believe that they have a single agency or headquarters on the earth to watch over all Christians everywhere. I'm aware of that, but that's not biblical. So there's no earthly organization for the church universal to try to activate and organize it in a universal sense. There is a brotherhood, 1 Peter 2:17, but there is no churchhood. The universal church is not an organization of local churches and then a man or a group of men are watching over the church universal. The organization comes at the local level and the local level only. Philippians 1:1 is addressing the local church at Philippi. So when the word church is used in the local sense of all saved in one location, we're going to begin to find that there is organization in the local church. Sometimes the local sense might be geographical. The local churches of Galatia or the churches of Judea. You'll find that in Acts 9:31 or Galatians 1, verse 22. But even smaller than that, you'll find it in cities like the Church of God at Corinth. Okay? So a local church is an assembly of saints, and they are functioning collectively as an assembly, and God did give the local church men in the form of elders to oversee and govern that local body. There is local church organization, and this is the only functional organization of Christians. The New Testament mentions no other sense of the word church. Anything larger than, or smaller than, or other than the local church is a unit of people that is unscriptural. The organization of the local church begins and ends with the local church. And so when I speak of church organization, I often try to make sure I clarify that with local church organization. And when I'm speaking of that this morning on the program and next week, keep that in mind. So, what is then that organization? Well, proper organization is achieved when all the members of the local church are fulfilling their proper role. And what we find is that when there is local church organization, we're going to find four key characteristics. Four key characteristics. Number one, organization allows the local church to be orderly. In Titus chapter 1, when Paul was giving the qualifications for elders, these are the men that are watching over the local church. Now, if you've heard, for example, of Mormon elders, they are young, unmarried men that come around and knock on your door. That does not match the biblical picture of an elder or a qualification of an elder. He must be a married man. That's given in the qualifications. The husband of one wife. Titus 1 verse 6. So even denominations today will use biblical terms, but they will use them in ways that are not biblical. They borrow them from the Bible, but they twist and distort them and use them for their own purposes. And Paul writes in Titus 1 and verse 5, "For this cause I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are wanting or lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I gave thee charge. If any man," so it's a man, "be blameless, the husband of one wife, married, and not having and having children that believe, who are not accused of riot or unruly." So a man, a married man, and a married man with children. And then in verse 7, the bishop must be blameless. Notice how he calls them elders in verse 5 and bishops, literally overseers, in verse 7. In denominations today, the bishop is separate from the elder, or the elder is an unmarried young man. And so people today use all these biblical words, but they misuse them and they take them out of context. But one thing I wanted to notice in verse 5 was set in order the things that are lacking. Church organization allows each local church to be orderly. God wants order, not confusion, in the local assembly. There is to be no disorganization in God's plan. Number two, organization of the local church allows it to be autonomous, self-governing. Each local church is autonomous, literally self-law. And I'll explain in what way in just a minute. Each local church governs or rules itself using the New Testament as its law. And these elders are using the New Testament to govern in the local church. Each local church is independent and not controlled from any outside human source, including other local churches. There are local churches in Clarksville, for example, several. But elders in one local church do not watch out for and govern and make decisions for another local church. And so they're independent and they're autonomous in nature. And this can be seen, for example, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, right here in Titus. Elders in every city where there is a church. He didn't say, ordain one group of elders and they're going to watch over all of the Christians in Crete. He didn't say that, but everywhere there was a church, that was where there was to be elders. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, here's another example. When they had appointed for them elders in every church, they prayed and so forth. And so each local church is to have men that grow up and qualify themselves and take that very seriously. And we need that still today in local churches for men to read these qualifications and make the decision to be that in their life. We need that so much today. And when the older elders pass on from this life, who are going to be the next set of men? Those who have decided earlier in their life, along with their wives and their families, to qualify themselves. That's very important. But it's elders in each church. Number one, it allows the church to be orderly. Number two, it allows them to be autonomous. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, the elders, verse 1, tend the flock of God which is among you, exercising the oversight. Among you. You watch over just the group among you. And so that's very important. Elders in one church do not watch over anybody else other than that local church. Here's another example in Acts chapter 20, when Paul called the elders of Ephesus together. In verse 17, they're called the elders. And in verse 28, talking to the elders, Paul said, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood." It's the flock. Well, which flock? Well, according to 1 Peter 5 and 2, that which is among you. And so a local church is independent and autonomous. Now, a local church, the elders in that local church do not legislate. They do not make laws. They do not judge or interpret God's laws in the sense of saying what they believe it ought to be. They simply execute or carry out God's law. So that's what self-law means, or self-rule. Not that they make up their own rules, but the elders take the New Testament law, Galatians 6:1, Romans 8:1 and following, the law of Christ, the law of liberty, James chapter 1, and they execute it. They carry it out. They uphold it. They make sure that the members of the local church are following it. So, there is to be no intercongregational or multi-congregational structure and organization in God's plan. Each group is autonomous. Number three, each group, each local church is equal. There's no distinctions among local churches. There's no contributing church. There's no sponsoring church. There's no mission church. There's no mother church. There's no hierarchical church. There's no hierarchical structure for local churches in God's plan. There's no pyramid where there's smaller churches and then they answer to a little bit bigger churches and they answer to a little bit bigger churches. And that's what you have in Catholicism. You've got the local priest, and there might be several local churches that make up a diocese, and then there are several dioceses that make up a bigger conference, and then everybody has to report to the Pope around the world. There's nothing like that in the New Testament. And you even begin to see God's wisdom in this. where the organization and the structure and the leadership goes no higher than a local church. And you can see the blessing and the benefit of that. And that is, you don't have one man or a small group of men controlling everybody. And that's what goes on today. I've had discussions, many discussions with people in denominations, and they say, I'm a member of such and such denomination, and I really don't like how that our leadership, and by leadership, they don't mean in the local congregation, they mean the main person over that denomination. I don't like how they've made a decision and the ruling body of bishops or cardinals or board, I don't like how they've made a ruling on such and such doctrine. I don't believe that particular interpretation on that doctrine. But they've made a ruling on that, and we're supposed to follow that ruling. You see, in God's wisdom and in God's plan, if a man or a group of men at the local level began to say and do things that were not according to God's word, it affects only that local group. It does not affect anybody else. And so you can see the wisdom in God's plan. And there are a number of illustrations that we could give that illustrate that autonomy is better than hierarchy. Some people think that, well, hierarchy is better because it is more fruitful, more productive. It's a better way to activate everybody and so forth. But we can't go by human wisdom and what we think and feel and try to turn the New Testament church into some sort of business model. We simply need to follow the New Testament plan. And then last of all, the organization of the local church allows the local church to be all-sufficient. Each local church is wholly sufficient to do the work that God has given it to do. Whether it be, and we talked about this last week, evangelizing the lost, being benevolent toward needy saints, or edifying those who are already Christians. A local church can do its work without any other organization being built. That's amazing. Local churches are not to build and maintain human institutions through which to do their work. A local church can use its money from its own treasury to do its own work. And a treasury is authorized in such passages as Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, to keep the Lord's money safely in a local church. And when elders making decisions for the whole congregation and using the Lord's money in that local congregation, that local church is doing its work, and it's all sufficient. A great example of this is found in the church at Antioch. The local church at Antioch was all sufficient to do its work. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, it did its own work of edification, teaching the members. In Acts chapter 11, 27 through 30, it did its own work of benevolence in helping needy saints in Judea. In Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3, it did its own work of evangelism, teaching in the local church and sending people to teach outside the local church. Antioch did this without any kind of intercongregational structure or multi-congregational structure. There was no hierarchy. It was just a local church, all sufficient to do its own work. And we have other examples. Jerusalem is an example. Jerusalem is an example of doing its own work in evangelism, Acts chapter 4 and 5. It did its own work in benevolence, Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 6. It did its own work in teaching those who were saved, Acts chapter 15 and other places. So there are examples of local churches being all sufficient to do their own work. And if we get a chance next week to talk about some of the perversions of organization, we find that even some claiming to be members of churches of Christ, they really don't believe that the local church is all sufficient to do its own work. And in the past years, they have tried to help that out with their own plan. And we will talk about that, Lord willing, at another time. Local churches were all sufficient to do their own work. They did not engage in any other work. We talked about this last week. There was no work or mission that involved social or recreational activities. Local churches did not spend the Lord's money from the treasury to engage in works involving youth camps, gymnasiums, fellowship halls for social meals, playgrounds, ball teams. Years ago, when I was preaching in Springfield, Tennessee, one of the members of another Church of Christ in town, they had a softball team, the Main Street Church of Christ softball team, and they asked me if I wanted to play on the softball team, and I said, no, thank you. That is not the mission and work of the local church. Recreational trips, etc. But what we talked about, evangelism, benevolence, sent directly to needy saints, and edification through the Word of God. They were also all sufficient to engage in the work of worship on the first day of the week, to take the Lord's Supper and to give a free will offering, to assemble together for singing and praying, and to come together to preach and teach the Word of God. They did not engage in any other kind of act of worship. And the elders in the New Testament church, the elders were not planning anything else. They were not working together with other congregations to engage in social and recreational activities. They did cooperate. They worked together with other local churches to send directly to a preacher, for example, or to send money directly to needy Christians. So they cooperated and worked in that way. But they did that without any kind of intercongregational organization. They were all sufficient. And so, we have all kinds of human organizations from the federal government, state government, city government, school board. We have businesses and corporations. But when it comes to the New Testament church, elders watching over the local flock, tending it, feeding it spiritually with the Word of God, and they are orderly, they are autonomous, they are equal, and they are all sufficient. And so, I would encourage local churches of Christ to be organized the way that Christ wants it organized. And if it is lacking, to put in men, and men need to qualify themselves to fit into that organization. Organization is not for some worldly honor. Organization is so that the Lord's work and service can get done. Local church organization allows the local church to have a means to get to that divine end of that great work of being the pillar and the ground of the truth. Local church organization is simple yet strong, small yet sufficient, and it's what God wants. Let's strive to be a part of that. Thank you for being with us today on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.